Ting tang, walla walla bing bang. Ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ting tang, walla walla bing bang. Come on, let's ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ting tang, walla walla bing bang. Ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ting tang, walla walla bing bang. Welcome to episode 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, parents done with their exercises. Let's go.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
I'm John Sumple.
And I'm Karen Bernhardt.
And welcome to episode 20.
Bente.
Of From Someplace New, our travel podcast, documenting our journey, answering questions, sharing stories, travel stories. Well, this is going to be an exciting episode. We're going to answer some questions that people have been asking us kind of offline, more or less, and friends and family, and an occasional direct message, you know, people wondering what we're doing. We're getting more and more followers, which is a good thing, from people that we don't know. This started out as mostly people that we did know.
Hello, interested travelers.
Yeah, we're excited that it's growing, and we welcome everybody. We encourage you to participate on our Facebook page. But we've been getting a lot of questions, and we're going to answer some of the questions that we've been getting, you know, during our stay in Bariloche.
During our isolation, so lockdown, quarantine situation.
Yeah, so it's not about, you know, since we started doing this, but the questions we've been getting asked the most over the last few months.
Yeah, specifically the last few months.
Right.
How we're handling the pandemic and what's going on with us, plans with our travels during this time.
But the most exciting part about this episode is we are going to reveal towards the end where we're going next.
We have a plan.
We are leaving Bariloche.
Yes.
So stay tuned. We'll get to that, you know, through our list of questions.
It's a significant update.
It is a big one. But before we get into that, what's the best thing that happened to you this week?
Ooh, the best thing. Well, it's, you know, as the restrictions are being eased, so what happened Friday night? We had dinner at a restaurant for the first time since March.
Yeah, since probably March 15th or so, 16th.
Yes, that week before.
Yeah. So the 20th was when it all started. We probably went out to, I know there was a couple of days before that we did not go out. I went out and worked one day, you stayed in. So we hadn't probably been out to eat since around the 16th, 17th maybe.
And this is a couple that goes out to eat almost every day during our travels because we love it. We like the cultural aspect of going out to eat and trying different restaurants and authentic foods and
meeting
things
people
when we're traveling. And we like to eat.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sustains us.
I think
it gets
does
us
everyone.
Through the day. It's important.
I think that's how it works for most people, right?
Yeah. So it's the same for me. Best thing that happened to me this week is that we actually went out together, you know, twice.
And yeah, outside. This weekend now, twice.
Yeah. We did a Facebook Live thing, so if anybody wants to check that out, you can see, you know, Karen with her mask, our experience.
Because that's super exciting.
But we were excited, though, that we were actually out somewhere. There were other people that were out.
Social.
And then we went for a walk today. We'll now transition into our update about Bariloche and the experience in Bariloche. We went out today. And there was very few people out.
Typical Sunday, pretty darn quiet.
Yep.
But we're still going to find a restaurant, the same one we went same to one Friday one, yeah. night.
Different food, though. We tried
right.
something
we
different.
We did. Different food from different items off the menu. But,
then we went for a walk.
Walkies.
And when we were going for a walk, we noticed there was more people out down by the lake.
Right.
So it was cold, a little bit windy, in the high 30s, but pleasant,
but
sunny
dry
day.
This
beautiful
weekend.
Sunny day.
Last weekend, super snowy.
No more snow. The snow is completely gone. It got warm enough and rained 3 or 4 days this week that kind of
melted it all off.
But beautiful sunny day, blue skies.
Really pretty.
Just nice out. But then when we walked back from our walk around near the lake into the downtown area, it was loaded with people.
Everybody and their grandmother. Literally,
and nothing is
families.
Open. No, the only thing that was open was a couple of the chocolatiers and the Alado ice cream places, and that was it. But there were hundreds of people out.
It was awesome, really. I mean, it was so great to see that level of activity. Everyone's being smart. Social distancing is happening.
Masks are being worn.
But there was a definite energetic vibe of people being out and about and just getting that fresh air and just moving their legs.
And I would say out of every 100 people we saw, maybe 2 or 3 people weren't wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Most of them had them around their neck.
Right, but
weren't wearing them at all. But most people are adhering to the guidelines, and so nice to see everybody out and about, really with no purpose other than to be outside, maybe grab an ice cream or some chocolate, maybe go to a restaurant that they might know about that we didn't.
But I would say 9/10 of the people weren't buying or doing anything. They were just out to be out.
Out to be out, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. So it's the first time in, 3.5 months.
Yeah, it was pretty vigorous as far as the activity.
Nice. Super, super nice. Mm-hmm. So now let's just get into these questions that we are being asked quite a bit. So, Karen, why don't you read the questions and let's start
this off with a bang. What's the lockdown all about for you guys?
And I think the reason why this keeps coming up is because people are expecting, as we have shared this, that you guys are under a severe restriction. It must be difficult.
Like it must
be military type of
state.
Thing.
And yeah, not at all. Things are so severe for you.
What we've noticed that we've seen, there's been some, I wouldn't say protests, there's been some demonstrations about worker rights and healthcare. They've been very pleasant. There have been some cars beeping horns and signs. And
minimal.
It's just raising awareness, mm-hmm. and nothing negative, no anger, no, that we've seen. We haven't seen any of that.
Unless it's been happening and I'm not aware of it, but nothing I've seen or heard of.
But we feel like we are in one of the best places we possibly could be. For protecting us.
Right, for being safe from
being
the virus.
Safe from the virus. There's no recklessness. Everybody's following the rules. The people who aren't following the rules get citations and fines. So it's been witnessed by people. It's reported in the news when people are violating. Therefore, it's a very strong message of please follow the rules. It's in the benefit of everybody. And you get the general feeling that most people, even though they're frustrated, they realize that this is in the best interest for our entire community. Therefore, we're going to follow the rules.
Yeah, there's no resistance that I'm aware of or that I'm feeling within the community. And also, there's just a very responsible, accountable collective with this. Mm-hmm. That people are, they're just hunkering down and doing what they need to do. In some ways, it's interesting because I think some of the family aspect, having their, elderly parents or grandparents, as anybody, hopefully anywhere in the world would feel, but in the children, just doing the right thing for the more vulnerable in the community and just stepping to the plate and doing what needs to be done, mm-hmm. to be smart. Regarding the virus.
Today is really the first day, even though it was snowing last weekend and we were out and that was kind of fun and there were people out and about. Today, there were so many people that were out. We were really surprised by how many people were out and the difference between 1 o'clock in the afternoon and 4:30, 5 o'clock. It went from being maybe we passed a dozen people, 20 people tops, and then hundreds of people were out. Just a few hours later.
I don't know what was happening, if it was a church. I'm assuming none of the churches are open. So virtual
right.
church and then maybe family time.
Family time. Sunday's a family time. Yeah.
Take a little rest, break, and then come out early afternoon. But very interesting the way that played out.
So overall, besides being, restricted to the four walls of our apartment and not being able to go outside, the one kind of benefit, I guess, has made it a little bit easier is that over the last month and a half, almost 2 months, it's been cooler, rainier, not the type of time that you would want to go out.
We're not tempted. Frustrated
kind of
that
like,
we should
okay,
be out.
Yep, we're here. We're gonna follow the rules. And there was no leaving. That was one of the restrictions. No option for it. There really was no option.
So I guess resigning yourself to the fact there wasn't any real frustration because our options were limited, so you just kind of accepted as that.
So adaptation was a big part of that.
Adaptation, that's it.
And we did well. I think overall we did well.
Yeah, looking back from, what we started with and just as everybody was dealing with kind of the shock of it all and the seriousness of it all as it was unfolding in those initial weeks, that first month, to where we are now, it's like Yeah, I mean, we did really well. And I know that we're not necessarily fully out of the woods with this. The virus is still around, and there's talk of a second wave, and everyone's monitoring this. I know we're all in the same situation with that. But as far as the initial burst of this and it just uprooting and changing people's lives so dramatically, so quickly, we can kind of, you know, look at it now, months later, and see where we handled it.
And the country and the government has received high marks for how they've handled
yes,
this.
Yes, they have.
And Argentina's lockdown, nationwide lockdown, was one of the strictest in the world, if not the strictest in the world.
Yeah, not just South America, the world.
The world, yeah. So, and they did the right thing because there was never too much stress on the healthcare system.
No.
Even though there's been some, we mentioned last week, increase of cases in Buenos Aires, and therefore they're, you know, tightening things up a little bit more there, but that just makes sense, you know, to make sure that it doesn't get out of control and create too much stress.
It made sense to us.
Yeah, it made sense.
And apparently all of our neighbors as well.
Yeah.
So.
Even the ones that initially wanted us deported.
Yeah. It was you, really.
Yeah, it was me. She didn't like me.
Get them out of here.
So that's question number one.
No, and I think that segues nicely into the second question, probably the second most popular question that we get. Why did you stay? Why are you staying?
Well, the easiest response to that was it was almost impossible to get out.
Well, there's that, yes.
So it was possible. But there were pathways, but the way that we looked at it was, well, we're on an open-ended journey. There's no reason to leave because the rest of the world is being impacted as well.
Right. We're all dealing with the virus. So what would be the advantage of being back in the United States dealing with the virus?
Right. So the main reason was we stayed because this was part of what we're doing.
Right.
We're traveling.
Already on part of, yeah.
And we had no idea how long it was going to be. You know, when all first started, we weren't thinking, oh, geez, we need to move on to another part of the world because it's going to be bad here. That was never our mindset. In fact, when the lockdown happened here, there was no signs of any issues here. And then, boom, out of the blue overnight, we were in full lockdown. No transition, but full lockdown. Within a week, the airports were closed. Entire countries' airports were closed to domestic and international
travel. Well, that's
true.
We would have had to act so quickly. There was really no time to ponder. And even if we had strong reasons to be back in the U.S., not a lot of time, not a lot of options in a very short window.
Right. And so we weren't even thinking about, well, let us look into what our options are with the State Department or with the consulate, you know, the U.S. Embassy to find out how do we get out of here? Because we were, you know, as we've said before, our home is where we are. So we were home. We weren't looking to move somewhere else. This was, we'll sit here until it's over.
Right. I mean, it made sense to park here. And also feel, and we've mentioned this before, but feeling very comfortable with the town and the setting of where we are, even the apartment itself, it was like, we can do this. We can be here. There wasn't anything that was concerning us that, okay, we need to make some decisions and get out of here.
So what was the next question that kind of follows on the heels of that?
Specifically, why aren't you coming back to the States?
Right.
So not, yeah. So most people, that's kind of what they were thinking. Like, why are you staying? Why wouldn't you be coming back to the States? Because that's our home country. So I guess we've already touched on that a little bit. But it just because it didn't make sense with our forward movement. And there wasn't anything that advantageous, sorry, but for us to be back in the States.
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting question. What if the virus, for whatever reason, wasn't happening as seriously, or if the U.S., for whatever reason, hypothetically, was a country that had very, very low cases, then would you have been more motivated, for whatever reason, to go back to the U.S.?
I would have been motivated to leave here only if this was a hotbed compared to the rest of the world. It would have been like, yeah, it makes no sense to be here when we can be someplace else.
Safer. Okay.
And, you know, if the U.S. was the only place on the planet that was safe, it would have been a consideration. But, and we've talked about this briefly, but haven't gotten into any major details about it. But one of the huge motivating factors for us to be doing what we're doing is the foreign income exclusion for expats on your taxes.
Yeah,
it's that basically excludes around $105,000 of income from our taxes, specifically as it pertains to me, not that I make that much, but specifically as it pertains to me because I'm a freelancer.
Oh, right, as opposed to me as an employee.
Right, because you're an employee. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, as long as we are not in the United States for more than 34 days a year, we can take advantage of the foreign income exclusion.
Share that again. Repeat that. I think that's really important for potential future travelers, long-term travelers doing something that we're doing.
Yeah, it's called the foreign earned income exclusion, and it's a deduction that you can take on your income taxes on an annualized basis. So as long as you are out of the country for a specific number of days, it varies, but it's usually like 34-ish days.
Right.
The benefit is that it's a huge deduction. And if we're in the States for more than 34 days, we don't get that deduction.
We lose it, right?
We lose it.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge incentive for us.
It was one of the biggest incentives when we first started looking into this, when we discovered this, is we could make U.S. dollars, live in low cost of living countries, and get an exclusion on our taxes. It was kind of like a no-brainer when you start doing the math and you realize what that means.
Creates a very comfortable financial situation for
right.
sure.
Right. So yeah, that's another big one. We could probably dedicate an entire episode to that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe down the road we'll get a guest that can join us and talk about that.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Just so that people understand, you know, another one of the whys that we're doing this is that we can travel the world and
doing something we love.
Doing something that we love to do. We love to travel. We can do our jobs. And we can save money.
And ding, ding,
which
ding.
Which is, save you know, most
money.
People don't get that.
No.
They're like, oh, it must be nice to be making all the money that you're making. It's like, no, not at all. Nothing is different from a financial perspective, from a work perspective, compared to when we lived in the United States.
Right.
We're doing exactly the same thing that we were doing when we lived in Seattle. Nothing has changed.
Right, as far as renting.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it someplace else, mm-hmm. someplace new.
Yeah. Ideally, someplace new.
So it's a big deal for us. And
played into why we didn't go back to the U.S.
Yeah, so that was a big reason. Because
mm-hmm.
if we did, we knew right away we would forfeit that exclusion. And we didn't want to do that.
Nope.
So we look at the, you know, going back to the United States as something that we can do. But we have to be cautious and conscious of what our time there is. So we want to leave room for business trips.
Right. So we've done that in the past, mm-hmm. over the past 2 years. We're coming up on 2 years since we've left Seattle. Interesting.
Right.
We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, each year looking at potential business trips and just keeping that time, in the U.S. under that 33, 34 days.
And if we weren't in this lockdown, you likely would have gone back for a business trip.
Yeah, normally this would be about the time I would. So here we are, it's July, no U.S. visits. So we'll see how that plays out if we do.
Yeah,
plan
I want to just
later
let's just go back to that U.S. the exclusion again. I want to just mention this and drive this point home one more time. And people are hearing this for the first time going like, "What are you talking about?" Clearly identify it. It is the foreign earned income exclusion. You file tax form 2555, and for tax year 2019, the foreign income exclusion amount is $105,900.
Okay.
So, you know, if you earn $112,000, $800 as a foreign income in 2018, you would subtract that maximum exclusion, the 105.9, and your taxable income would be the difference.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. So, you know, our total combined taxable income was ridiculously low.
Yeah.
So we work specifically with a company to do our taxes, and the name of it is Greenback. It's a expat tax services, and they're experts in this, and it's relatively easy. They tell you the
information.
Were we
referred to them, or you did that as independent research?
I was referred by somebody that was an expat that was using this, and he said, hey, if you use this, you'll get a discount, plus I'll get a kickback, you know, a little bit of discount on my next one.
I couldn't remember the background with that.
So I looked into it, and it was a piece of cake, and when we got our tax return to finalize and we saw how low our taxable income was, it was just shocking. and an incentive, a huge incentive to keep doing this, to keep traveling. We get to see the world. We get to save more money. We're spending less money by traveling than we are if we had lived in the United States. And we've mentioned this many times before, but huge, huge incentive. So, yeah, we just wanted to really clarify that because we've never really talked about that in depth, and it's definitely worthy of more attention, and we'd be more than happy to dive a little bit deeper into that if people are interested in learning more. But I'll put in the notes links to the exclusion at the U.S. IRS website, as well as the link to the Greenback Tax Service.
Awesome.
I was just talking
good
about
tip.
Things that so stimulate Karen to the hilt. She's like,
no, I benefit
nodding
from
off.
It, obviously, but oh my goodness,
she's like,
taxation.
Why are you talking about this? Taxes?
Number crunching and taxes. But no, it's part of, yeah, obviously what we're doing. So for the next one that comes up quite a bit, this is sort of broadening the previous question, but just in general, when are you coming home? Quote,
right.
Home, unquote. When are you coming home?
So we've
been at this for almost 2 years.
And people, we have been telling this. We have told our story, what we're doing, numerous times.
I think we've been pretty clear.
Yeah.
As to why, family, what we're doing and why we're doing it. But,
you know, and it keeps coming up. So when are you coming back? When is the trip done?
I mean, well-intentioned, that's fine, but
I mean,
okay.
It's like, how many times do we have to say that, and you know what, I don't mean to sound, but it's a little bit aggravating.
Oh.
It is a little aggravating. It's like, how many times do we have to tell people that we know, care about, love, that we're on an open-ended, long-term
Ouch.
Travel journey?
Ouch.
I think there,
You're
and I
bristly.
Think part of where this comes from is, why would you not want to be here?
Okay.
And it's like, don't you love the United States? It really has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with leaving the U.S.
No, it's
more
about
exploring.
What's
and
next,
learning.
What we're moving toward, not going
right.
back to where we're from.
And we've been exposed to so many amazing learning.
Yeah, you can't go back. I know if we were to go back, even if we were to say, okay, we'll be back in the United States for 6 months out of the year or something like that, I would be so restless.
Right.
I just know. I can very confidently say I would be unhappy. I would feel like I was just sitting
And I give
still.
A lot of credit to you because of someone who is much more about controlling her environment.
Right, the
a little
surroundings,
bit more,
the routines.
Yeah, the routines. And to,
it's changed.
This was a huge, you know, step forward for you. And I've seen, you're the one who's like, I'm ready to move. Let's
yeah.
get going again.
It's something happens where, so we already had the personality and the initiative and the interest in doing
the passion
this.
For it.
So that's already there. That foundation was there. And then it being reinforced very quickly as we embarked on this lifestyle. And then as we now move into, you know, our third, coming up on our third year of doing this, I can't think of anything else I would rather be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it became so clear during the pandemic where we had no options for moving forward and continuing to go the way we had been, packing up and moving every month, literally every month,
mm-hmm.
4 weeks,
right.
like the next place.
Right.
And whatever that entailed, whether it was a bus ride or a plane ride or a train ride or whatever, like we were moving that quickly. And I could have kept going with that. Well, we figured we'd keep going with
right.
that for, you know, quite some time. So now we've had this big pause, and we have new things around the corner.
Right. So, but the question that keeps coming up is, but you guys have been gone now for 2 years. When you're
yeah, like, aren't
back.
You good?
Aren't you good? It's like, it's once you've done this, once you've had the experience of saying that I'm not on vacation, I'm immersing myself as much as I can in a country's culture. You know, we usually try to stay 3 months in a country.
Right.
Sometimes
different
longer,
areas, but yes,
different
the
areas within
itself,
a country.
3 months. Mm-hmm.
To take advantage of the tourist visa
mm-hmm.
allowance.
Which we've mentioned, yeah.
We've seen huge cultural differences from country to country.
Pretty significant.
You know, every mm-hmm. country's been, we can't say that, oh, we're in Latin America, therefore
no.
all of them are the same.
Oh,
no, not
no.
at all.
Not even, yeah.
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, how about this then? I've had that question a few times. So how much longer will you be in South America? Why are you still in Central and South America?
Well, there's a
so
couple
drill
reasons
down,
for that.
Why are we still
One, we wanted to maximize Spanish learning. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've learned over time, though, is that we don't need to be proficient. We can get by with enough because
charades.
Yeah. Well, it just there's enough people that we've encountered. Only I would say we can count on two hands the number of times where we were in a place where somebody didn't speak any English whatsoever.
Right, where they hard stop, like with yeah.
And we learned enough to be able to have conversations and get by, right. Even using translators if we need to.
Right.
So using those tools. that would be one reason. The other reason was the low cost of living, pay off debt, save up money. And most of the countries in Central and South America are much lower cost of living. So that was a huge impetus. And then we wanted to see as many of the countries as possible.
There's a lot to see and do in South America. It's a big
continent. And the more that we explored it, the more that we wanted to see more of it. So it wasn't a matter of like tick the box, move on, tick the box, move on. For example, when we were in Mexico, we had no idea that we were going to stay in Mexico for 9 months. But we did because we were fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in Peru, we had no idea that we were going to stay for 5 months.
Right.
We extended our stay. We went beyond our visa allotment by 2 months and had to pay a fine before we were able to leave. So, you know, but we loved it. And we've been here beyond our visa stay.
That should be interesting
go to the airport and are talking to immigration. We're going to do a little bit of research into it ahead of time, but that should be interesting.
We're trying to get a clear answer. We really can't.
Right now we don't.
And you might not be able to because these are unique circumstances.
Right.
The fact that we've had to extend our stay because of the virus. So
right.
I don't know how much the authorities will be taking that into account. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why we can't get a clear answer on this. If anybody out there knows, but we're assuming it's a fine that we'll have to pay at the airport, and like we did in Peru.
I don't think it's going to be this. I think they're going to look at it as you were in lockdown. Yeah, it could be. It depends on the person we get at immigration. They might be like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, depending on the day they've had.
Or they might be, you know, you're the fifth person that's done this. I'm a little PO'd, so I'm going to, you guys are going to have to pay a fine.
Right.
But we're going to find it out before we go so that we're not at the airport realizing that we have to go somewhere else to fill out documents.
Well, it'd
pay
be nice to know ahead of
so
time.
We're going to figure all that out through the embassy ahead of time. So, yeah, I'm not trying to it does agitate me. You know, I'm not trying to beat anybody.
I didn't know it was it hit such a nerve with you.
Well, it's more a matter of the people that I've shared the story with in detail that are friends and family, and they still ask the question. It's like, at what point does...
Is it because they miss you?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay.
It's more a matter of, I think what I keep hearing is like, I've even heard this, I could never do what you guys are doing. I would miss too much of X, Y, and Z.
And that's fine.
And that's completely fine. But one, you know, the conversation that we've been having, though, is what we talked about in a previous episode was we've realized all the things that we didn't need, that we gave up, that were not necessary, that were kind of like fillers and routine things that we didn't need because there was our entertainment became the locations that
right.
we're in.
Right.
So the exploration was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the exciting part.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't miss those things. I would have thought that I was going to miss sports, that I was going to miss, you know, some of the conveniences that they have, but I don't.
So what have you learned that you really need? So in your travels and specifically after the pandemic,
just
because
you,
of the
baby.
Pandemic.
Just you.
Thanks. I was going to say the same thing. I only need myself. Oh, I'm sorry, you. No. Of course, we need each other.
No, but I think really at the end of the day, the stuff doesn't matter. We've talked about the minimalizing and the need for being more sustainable and more efficient in how you move around. Those are all very important, I think.
Yeah.
And it's transformed us. We're very different people. We may sound the same, and people will be like, oh, you're still John and Karen. You know, we still know you. Or people who are just meeting us for the first time listening to this episode. Yeah, it has been transformational for
us.
Yes,
it really is.
To
in the best possible ways.
To the being antsy that you mentioned about if we were back. 6 months seems like forever. And that the question would be like, well, where would you go if you went back to the States?
Right.
We have plenty of people who have said, oh, you can come and stay with us.
And sure, I'd love to
visit for a week.
Yeah, for visits. I mean, of course, we love our family and friends, and I miss
visiting
them.
Visiting is not an issue. It's never like we're never going back.
No.
But, you know, we have no problem with going back and visiting, and we will do that.
Yeah, but
it's more a matter of
putting in a stake somewhere? No.
Yeah, that's not something that there's too much to see. And we've started this journey, and we were excited about it, and we want to keep doing it.
That's it.
So now...
Ooh, where are you going 30
plus minutes in.
Da, da, da.
Where are you going next? So before we unveil that...
Yes, ooh, unveil.
The amount of research and the headaches that we have gone through... We made a commitment after, like, towards the end of May that we were going to leave in June. We were going to figure out a way to leave in June. Right. And no matter how much it cost.
Whatever it took.
Whatever it took.
Well, within reason.
Within reason.
We're not going to spend $12,000 to
fly to Europe or to fly to Australia or New Zealand or Southeast Asia before this all happened was in anywhere from like $400 to $1,000 one way.
Yes.
Per person.
But during the pandemic.
During the pandemic, it's been as high. We've seen prices as high as $4,700 per person to fly from here to Miami.
Yeah, there goes all your pandemic savings.
So there was this mindset initially, well, we'll go back to the States.
Right.
We'll fly into Miami. We'll stay there for a week.
We'll explain that the flights that you would find too weren't, they're not.
Yeah, well, that was the biggest thing.
Heavily advertised flights. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier. Dig deep to find these.
Right. As I mentioned earlier, all airports in Argentina have been closed since March 20th.
Yes.
And are not scheduled to reopen to international travel and domestic travel until the 1st of September. So the challenge has been nothing shows up as a standard flight when you use these different apps to do research, but there have been some of them show nothing is available at all. And some of the better ones like Skyscanner is probably the best by far. So if you're looking for international travel, I highly recommend using Skyscanner. It allows you to look at specific dates or in an entire month, and you can see what the rates are going to be. But we would go in some of these, and it would say that it was going to be $1,200. Then you click on and it says it's $4,200. So whatever was showing up on the initial screen, when you click through to it, it was a higher rate. And then
why
if you click through, because it's constantly changing.
Oh.
And these are more, they're private flights, not to say that they're repatriation flights, but they're not scheduled flights.
Right.
So they're kind of like off the grid, off the record, but they're scheduled. They're permitted to fly. And most of them are for people who are trying to go back home to wherever home might be. So the repatriation type private flights that were going, both repatriation, which are paid for or kind of scheduled by the government, but you're still paying for it, and it's much more expensive. And then there were flights that the U.S. State Department was saying, well, they're not repatriation flights, but there are flights going out of Buenos Aires for people returning to the U.S. to either Houston or Miami. Those were the two areas that we had seen flights, but they were very random. They would be there one day, and then they would be canceled or filled. So you would never know when the next one was going to show up, and there would be like two or three a month, not a lot. And they were expensive.
Right. So you're monitoring the flights, the potential of leaving Argentina. But then the next big question is where to go.
Well, the initial conversation was, let's go to Miami.
Right. But where after the U.S.?
Right. So then we were looking at, well, our big discussion for
what's
6 weeks was, are we going to go left or are we going to go right?
Right. Like where on the globe?
So we
and not just even a matter of where are we most interested, what's available to us.
Yeah. And so back in May, we were thinking that things would open up again,
right,
thinking we were seeing signs of things started to some curves
overly
were flattening.
Overly optimistic there.
Well, not in some countries, the curves is completely flattened, like New Zealand, for example.
But not allowing.
Yeah, but they're in a bubble now. They're only allowing travel within
good for them,
certain
but
countries.
Not allowing
right.
outsiders.
So we learned that. We did research. We were looking at New Zealand. We were looking at Australia. We were looking in Europe.
Everywhere. Honestly, there was nothing that we would have ruled out as far as.
So our question really was, ideally, we would have said, okay, we're going to finish up our time in Argentina. Then we're going to go to Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, Bolivia,
we had a
Colombia.
Lot more planned for South America.
And potentially work our way back up through Central America because we went from Mexico down to Ecuador.
I mean, potentially it would have been through spring even. We talked about spring of 2021.
Right.
Still in South America.
Right.
Right. So that would have been,
that would have been the ideal, because we wanted to hit all. Right. There's things that we haven't seen that we're kind of frustrated because we're going to be leaving the continent and not having done everything that we wanted to do. Very frustrating to me.
Yeah, because we were so eager for all of these other places and experiences we wanted to have. And
we were 2 weeks away from going to Patagonia and Torres del Paine.
So close.
And then Ushuaia, the southernmost city in the world. And then we were going to go to Buenos Aires for a month, which was number one with a bullet on my list in South America that I wanted to do. Then we were going to, you know, go to the Bolivia was high on my list, too, to see the salt flats and go up in La Paz, up in the highest elevation for a city. One of the highest elevations, not the capital, but technically one of the highest. Colombia, we wanted to go to. So many things we've heard about from people who live there and people who
Colombia.
Just so much that we wanted to see and couldn't wait to do. And now we know that we can't.
So, and again, everyone's dealing with very real issues surrounding the pandemic, so I don't mean to sound like, oh, woe is us, but this is a travel podcast,
we are
talking about our travel life, so it's relevant that, you know, as we plan where we want to be month to month, country to country, that's all changed for us.
So, as things started unfolding in the course of June, we realized that going to Miami wasn't an option because we did not know where we could go after that, and we did not want to get stuck there for the reasons of what we talked about earlier.
And watching over the last few weeks how things have escalated, which I feel so bad for my friends and coworkers in Florida, but Florida, Arizona, Texas, some of these states that are doing very poorly with the virus, changing daily, but looking worse daily.
So there was this thought that if we did go back, what if we got infected, then we had to stay in the States longer, and then it would have affected our ability to go to travel again. Mm-hmm. So we were worried about that 34 days, and we need to be there longer. So that started to become less and less of an option for us. So then we were kind of like, okay, so if we're not going through Miami, where are we going to go?
Right.
And then we were, then the news broke about 2 weeks ago that the EU might exclude US.
Oh my goodness, that was a huge blow.
We were looking at Iceland. We were looking at you know, throughout Europe, but Iceland was kind of number one with a bullet on our list of that, or Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia was high. Right. We were going to go kind of north, you know, enjoy the summer in the northern hemisphere. But then all of a sudden, and we had communicated with the or Portugal too is another one that
we're
looking at.
So
we
that was.
Yeah, communicated with both the embassy in Portugal and Iceland to see what was available. We were basically told that until the EU made its decision that we would basically be on hold. So here we are thinking, okay, now we've got to wait another week until the end of June to know what these decisions were going to be.
Right, so it was announced.
So once it was announced, we realized, okay, we're not going to be able to go to Iceland.
Right, Schengen countries.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to go to any of the Schengen countries. So then we started looking at Malta and Croatia.
Because
Croatia was opening, you know, basically tourism to any nationality.
So and the Caribbean islands.
Yeah, in the Caribbean.
So those were the three main areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then that the question became, okay, well, maybe we should go to the Caribbean islands because the it's close. We're in the same time zone. We could kind of wait it out there. But our biggest fear was, what if there's a second wave and we're at an island for the next 6 months?
Well, how about this? The second wave of the virus and hurricane season.
Right. That was a big
part of it.
That
was on our mind as well.
Right.
Because we lived in Florida for 20 years and we experienced hurricanes and, you know,
know how they can
that.
Devastate an island too, so that's
so that
was
played into
a big consideration too. Yeah, absolutely. So then we're like, okay, so maybe we're going to go to Malta and maybe we're going to go to Croatia. So we started, you know, looking into that, and it was about the restrictions and the process of getting there and how much it would cost and how much time it would take. Most of the flights that we looked into were like 50 hours because you had to connect through several different airports and have long layovers and some of the crazy flights. We even saw flights back to Miami that went from here to Buenos Aires, which is heading east, then fly west to Santiago, then from Santiago to Houston, from Houston to Paris, and Paris to Miami.
They were very
ridiculous
connections.
Flights. But they were available if you wanted to pay the big price to get back home.
Pay the price and commit to two full days of travel.
We were doing research just a few days ago and kind of honing in on either Malta or Croatia, and then started doing some reading into the UK.
Right, and realized, and why, I don't know why we weren't looking at it. I don't know why we didn't think of the UK earlier. Because you know the UK is separate. It doesn't. It's not a Schengen country.
But they had high count going back in June. England. And we were kind of avoiding that because of the high number of cases
there. Kind of watching what was happening in England.
But once we realized that they were allowing people to come in but would have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, we were kind of like,
Totally doable.
Doable. So after 100 days of lockdown here, what's another 2 weeks?
Right.
You know, in another country.
I mean, a deal breaker for travelers who are trying to plan a vacation that might not even have 2 weeks of a vacation in normal circumstances. So that rules out all of them. But our certain situation's very different. We're not coming through as travelers. Right. We have the time. So
doing some research, we're kind of like, well, let's look at London. Started doing research about the flights. The flights worked out great. Mm-hmm. It would be, you know, a direct flight
from
Buenos Aires to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to London. But then looking into the availability of places and how much it was going to cost, it was extremely expensive.
Right.
We were really surprised. It's a culture shock for us. We've been paying $450 a month
kind of
here.
That's kind of extreme, but
and it was like $3,000 a month in London. So we're like, yeah, that's not looking good.
Yeah.
So I said...
And thinking we'd be there for months and months, so
So I said, well, let's check Edinburgh. And much lower costs. Much lower cases of the virus there. Things are starting to open up as of this weekend. And by the 15th of July, everything's supposed to open up again.
Right.
Bingo. We're going to Edinburgh.
We're going to Edinburgh.
And not Edinburgh, PA.
I know. I'm from Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. And I plan on going to Edinburgh, Pennsylvania this year as well. But for our foreign travels, Edinburgh, Scotland.
So we're really excited.
Woo!
So the next question is, why Edinburgh?
Why Edinburgh?
So why did you choose Edinburgh? And kind of filled in the reasons how we kind of got there. But I had spent a month in Edinburgh when I was in college.
We're going to go in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah,
John,
so it's going back 37 years since I did that. But I'm excited to go back and see what it's like. I have a fond memory of being there. And that it is such a beautiful country for anybody who's ever been.
Excited.
You understand that the west coast of Scotland is spectacular. The Highlands are spectacular. The east coast is spectacular. St. Andrews and Dundee are amazing, amazing cities on the water. And the history, just the amazing history that's there.
Yeah.
So we realized that we wanted to be somewhere that was warm weather, albeit it's going to only be warm weather for a couple
that's
months.
That's not going to be a very long.
Because we're leaving winter, and we wanted to get someplace
at
warmer.
Least, a little sliver of summer experience.
The other benefit was that for U.S. passport holders, the tourist visa is 6 months.
6 months. Very appealing.
Yes.
Because, again, waiting to see what happens with the virus and all of that, we can be there.
Right.
And that's for the entire U.K., so we can bounce around and totally intend to between England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales.
And one of the other things that we found out, too, it's not so much of where your passport, you're a passport holder. It's more about the country that you're coming from. So even though they're saying they're banning all U.S. citizens from going to Schengen countries, if you're in the Schengen zone or in a country that is allowed into the Schengen zone, you can travel there. I wouldn't say that exclusively that happens across the board, but there has been a lot of things that we've researched that people have said it doesn't really matter what your passport is. It's the country that you're coming from.
Right.
So if we went back to the U.S. first, we might not have been able to get in.
Right. That was a huge concern.
So that was one of the reasons why we were like, okay, well, if that's an option taken off the board, then we don't want to exclude ourselves. So we opted not to do the U.S. leg.
Yeah.
First.
So
we know that we can be there for 6 months. We know that there's, you know, so we can go to Scotland. We can go to Ireland.
Right.
We can go to Wales and we can go to England.
And then we are Schengen European Union adjacent. Right. So monitoring that during our time and then figuring out our trajectory through those various right. countries.
So we're kind of excited about it.
Kind it's of excited. Be
yeah. So I another thing, too, excited. Is that we're close to Iceland. So if there's an opportunity to bounce over to Iceland, too, we want to do that. We're close to the Faroe Islands, which we're excited about seeing that based on some things that we've met people who've gone there. We talked with a photographer who spends a lot of time there and took some amazing photos. We're excited about that. The Shetland Islands, the Orkney Islands, being far north during the winter is a good thing, too, because you get to see the Northern Lights. So that's another cool
it's
thing.
It's a whole new leg of our travels.
So, yeah, we're going to Scotland.
So, yeah, when are we going?
We're leaving. Oh, yeah, I guess we should mention yeah. that. Yeah, we're leaving on July 22nd. Mm-hmm. We have an overnight flight to Amsterdam, and then we have, a 4-hour layover, and then we pop on over to Edinburgh.
Yep. So we booked an Airbnb.
We booked an Airbnb. The only thing left we have to get from here to Buenos Aires.
Yes, so we've done the research. We know what the options are, but we have to finalize that. Super important, getting right. ourselves from this town to Buenos Aires.
So it's either by a colectivo, which is kind of like a minibus.
Different services.
Or a private car. Mm-hmm. A private car is very expensive, but might be safer yeah. as far as exposure. So we need to weigh those
quality
options
and
look at
that.
Timing. So one of the other big challenges is that you cannot be in Buenos Aires for more than 24 hours before your flight leaves.
Yep.
That's a restriction.
That's one of the rules. So you have to
it's
time
an 18-hour, 19-hour drive from here, so we have to figure out the timing for all that. Do we get in at 10 o'clock the night before, which gives us a 23-hour window, or do we need to take an overnight that gets us there the morning of the flight? So much more to do.
Right, so that will be confirmed over the next couple of days, so we'll be able to share that possibly.
Yeah, so next week we'll podcast. Give more... More details.
But yeah,
two weeks. 2 weeks from Monday or Tuesday, we will likely be leaving
surreal.
Bariloche.
It's surreal.
It is. It's exciting.
But very energizing
We're
to
excited.
Have a plan and be, getting back into what makes us so happy with this lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And going to someplace new again.
Truly.
So much
someplace
more.
New.
Yeah, excited. So that's a good point to wrap things up with.
Yeah.
So if you like what you heard, please do us a favor and subscribe, leave a comment, and share with friends, family, and anyone who might be interested in following along with us. We really appreciate the sharing that's been going on. Our audience is growing, and that's exciting. It's kind of like Karen has looked at it as like, who would want to listen to us?
Oh my goodness, that's not quite like that.
You did say that in the beginning. Why would anybody want to listen to us? And it's because we're entertaining.
Oh,
we're good storytellers. We have good rapport.
Do we?
We're a loving husband and wife.
Oh, that's
on an amazing journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Love you, babes.
Yeah, love you.